This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Forward Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Wednesday morning. Boomer is out today. Jerry is back. He landed early this morning. It didn't go great for Rutgers, but he is here. Ripping and rare to go. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing well. I want to know exactly when you landed, when you got here, so everybody knows what you're dealing with this morning.
I'm good. When did we land? Great question. I would say 12:30.
Okay,
and you were out. Wasn't too bad.
In Indiana?
Yeah. I tell you, I say this to Al all the time. Air travel is amazing. When you think, like, we landed at 12:30, and I'm, you know, on the New Jersey Turnpike at whatever, 1 a.m., I'm thinking, literally 3 hours ago, I was doing a post-game show in West Lafayette, Indiana. It's amazing. Really is amazing.
Yeah. And you are here.
I'm here.
And you're ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not a great result for Rutgers last night.
No. I will tell you just briefly, one of the most amazing shooting displays I have ever seen in person.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They had, I think Purdue had 16 made threes in the first half.
Wow.
First half.
Was Rutgers playing poor defense or
wasn't great?
Okay.
It was not great.
All right.
Defense definitely lacked.
Yeah. We never really talked about in person the last time the bad loss that they had in the buzzer beater and then Heichel just letting them fly in the postgame.
Yeah.
What were you thinking when that was going on? He's dropping F on after F.
Nothing. Honestly, nothing, because you could see when the ball goes through the hoop, he just looked the disbelief. Also, there were things that happened on that play that should have been called that weren't. So, like, he was beyond ticked off. Also, that game would have meant a lot. So when he comes out, and I've done this 9 years. He's never, ever, ever done anything like that before. The best part of it, though, is my engineer, Paul Schrager, who, you know, puts the fader up here. Steve, by God, you can sit back for a couple minutes. And the first F-bomb flies. He explodes out of his chair.
You're like Eddie when he moves.
Yeah. Yes. Like when I played the clip by mistake, I think the same day, as a matter of fact, or the day before, with Adam Schein, whatever. And he, the look on his face is like, what do we do? I'm like, he won't do it again. And then he did it again. And then again. And it was just, it's live radio, and it kind of is what it is. I know the guys dumped it, but it got through on the stream, so be it. But, those things, go Eddie.
Yeah,
that was Paul. That was right, Paul last
CBS
week.
Sports Network showing Eddie over and over again, rushing for the dump button.
But the game's amazing. You know, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's Rutgers, whether it's St. John's, it doesn't matter who it is. It's amazing to me, having watched basketball, and even last night to a certain degree, where the Knicks just got outshot, in my opinion. And I watched a very long highlight, about a 30-minute highlight reel this morning. You know, I don't know that they necessarily played terribly, and no Carl Anthony Towns, but it's amazing to me in basketball, and you've seen it long enough, a team can just not miss for a quarter or a half or whatever the stretch is, and then all of a sudden, it's like the little gods come down, and they put saran wrap on the hoop, And no matter what you do and how opener, the ball just doesn't go in. It really is fascinating.
Well, especially now where it's just like three-point shot after three-point shot, even in college. I mean, St. John's doesn't play that way, but most of the good teams in basketball are hurling up threes all the time. And, yeah, I mean, that's why we always joke around about the silly phrase of it's a make-or-miss league. But
it's
like,
true.
Like, obviously it is, but that's really what it is. I mean, it's not like, you know, a team is going to play great defense and generally win in the regular season when it comes to the NBA. And last night, just that game sucked. It just sucked. Everything about it sucked. And then Tom Thibodeau at the press conference basically comes out and says that they didn't have any energy coming out of halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a problem. You know, it made me worry a little bit because the way that they played and the way that he sounded made me think that something worse is going on with Karl Anthony Towns than is they're leading on.
Well, it was personal reason, if I read it correctly.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they say he might not even join them for the trip. I shouldn't say won't be on the trip, but might not go with them.
Yeah.
When they first leave. That is concerning because he's a huge part of this.
Well, of course, but I just, the demeanor of the team and then the way he spoke, it was as if they got some really bad information before they played that game.
You mean like injury information?
Maybe.
They said personal reasons.
Well, you got to remember, he was dealing with the knee thing.
I know.
And they love, I mean, it's not as clandestine as the NHL injury stuff is, but with the NBA and the Knicks in particular have liked to, maneuver around the real injuries and put certain things out there. And this guy's getting a rest day, but he's dealing with a knee, or this guy's, just sitting today, but he actually has an injury we don't want to tell you about. Like the Mitchell Robinsons, he's going to come back, he's not going to come back. I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to hide something. I just couldn't figure out. I don't know. Still, this is happening with guys that I feel like are 50 years old, where LeBron James comes into the Garden and dominates.
Yeah.
And now Steph Curry does it again. And you would think that these guys, even without Karl Anthony Towns, would at least show more effort than they did. And the coach even comes out and admits it. And then if you hear him, like I heard the Marco Belletti cut this morning a couple of times. And Tibbs is no, like, the guy's not going out there and giving a one-man show. He's not, John Leguizamo in his post-game press conferences. But he sounded more down than ever.
Mm.
Like, he just sounded lifeless. And I'm thinking, what? This can't just be your normal regular season lull. Something else has to be going on. And then you look into the Karl Anthony Towns, like, I hope to the God, it is not something serious, but I was just trying to put two and two together and why things felt the way they did last
night.
Well,
I didn't think so. It was the Boston game where they were getting blown out and he goes back to the locker room. Now, to me, I didn't think it was a big deal because it was Towns that came out after the game and said, I went back there because they made me go back there.
Yeah.
Go back there. He said he felt fine, and when he came out, I was going back on the floor. So to me, I didn't think it was an issue at all. It's interesting you bring that up because they do put personal reasons, not injury, but it does make sense that that could be part of the issue. The thing about the Knicks, though, that is so bizarre when you watch them, there have been times this year where I have watched that team and I say, this team is ready to win an NBA championship. The Cavaliers and the Celtics be damned. And then yet they go out there and they play the Celtics and they play the Cavaliers and they play the Thunder, and they don't look like they're on the same level. Then they have games like last night. No Towns, I get it. They have games like last night where, to me, again, they were outshot. The fourth quarter was lousy. But then you're coming off the weekend where they have the two road wins. Now, I know the Grizzlies and the Heat aren't great teams, but winning on the road's hard. And they won two good road games. That's a weird one last night. And they've had a very strange, even Brandon BT's been on it. Like, it doesn't, to him, feel like a championship team. And every time I disagree with him, they throw in a game like this. And it's like, yeah, something just seems a little off about them.
Yeah, and it sort of felt that way for the entire year. And anytime you feel really good about them, they run into one of those good teams.
Exactly.
And don't even compete.
Yep, exactly.
And I don't know if I felt better about last year's team winning a championship. I don't think that I did. I mean, I felt better about last year's team's resilience and ability to battle, and I felt like, man, they could really beat anybody if they are able to score the way they need to because they're just playing better defense than everybody else. But this team, I don't think that they're capable of beating the Celtics in the second round.
But here's my question, because every time I have the conversation with someone and I bring up the fact that they don't play defense the way they did, it's always the response is, but wait till the playoffs. Is it that?
Can I know, just, I said that
can
too.
You flip a switch like that and all of a sudden become this lockdown defense? Because some of the pieces from last year, it's not the same. Things are, I know Mitchell Robinson's coming is back, but you know, this is a little bit of a different team now, and you're asking a couple of guys that maybe weren't known to be defensive guys to now be defensive guys when the playoffs begins?
Maybe, but that's not been the Tibbs mindset or MO while he's been a coach. They've always played better defense during the regular season than everybody,
right,
and they haven't done it this year. And also a thing that scared me, too, because I had that same mentality and that same thought process when you get to the playoffs, it'll be different. It's a different game in the playoffs. But then when the Celtics, the last blowout that they had, they to a man after that game said, we find a different gear when we play the Knicks, meaning that they're playing the type of game they would play in the playoffs against the Knicks, I think for a number of reasons. The first being that, you know, after Mikal Bridges and after the Karl-Anthony Towns acquisitions, everybody was all over the Knicks.
100%.
And thinking, oh, they could be a championship team and the odds and everything, and they just wanted to squash that because they were the defending champs.
Right here.
Yeah.
I absolutely. And when this team was put in place and made complete, I looked at them and said, like I just said to you, the Celtics and the Cavs be damned. I thought that this was the best team in the Eastern Conference. 100%, I'm kind of in that crowd.
Yeah, and then the Celtics are hearing that stuff and thinking, who the hell are they? They haven't won a goddamn thing. We're the defending champs. Shut up. And I mentioned Mikal Bridges. That guy is like bordering on stiff territory.
Let me ask you something, because I'm glad you brought that up. Think about what they gave up for him.
They held on to those first-round picks like they were clutching a rosary in a casket. And then finally decided to part with them, and then they did it for him, who I'm not saying he doesn't have talent and hasn't had his moments, but he there's more bad than good. He's getting benched, and his bad is really bad.
And you just hit on it, and I believe I might have even used those terms when you got him. I watched him with the Nets, terrific player, but he has moments. And then he's got games where he's just, it's like a disappearing act. And when they traded him to the Knicks, I didn't want to see him go to the Knicks. I didn't want to see, you know, Brooklyn help New York. But when you see what the return was, it's like, all right, I mean, that's a haul. Even though the Knicks are going to be good, it's still a lot of picks. And he has not been, he's had games. He's had the Christmas Day game, for instance. The other night, was it Miami? I forget whether it was one of these recent games. He went off in one of these quarters and he looks like a superstar. But then there are games you don't even realize he's on the floor. And that's problematic.
Yeah, and then there's the games where you realize he's on the floor because he's so bad and he can't make a shot. And then also, you know, defensively, he could be really a liability, which shouldn't be
the case. Which is not what he's supposed to be.
It really should not be the case. I mean, he's one of the main reasons why they traded all those assets is they're thinking this guy's a two-way player. He's long. You could stick him on some of the better offensive players in the Eastern Conference and try to neutralize those guys, and he's just... He's not that guy. He is not the player that the Knicks thought that they were getting. And I think because there's so many other issues with the Knicks, he's flown under the radar early on in the season, and he's not flying under the radar anymore.
No, and as we get to the playoffs, he really isn't going to fly under the radar because he is going to be expected to come up big in, you know, big spots, essentially, when you get to playoff time. And he just hasn't done it consistently all season long, and I don't know why that... The same way the Knicks have not played defense consistently this year, or really at all in a lot of cases, I don't know that it just changes because the calendar turns to the postseason. It's not that easy.
It kind of feels like the Yankees to me right now, the last couple of years, or definitely...
The Knicks do?
The Knicks right now, and it didn't happen for as long of a period of time, but it feels like to me like the Yankees in the Astros dynasty era, mm-hmm. where it was like, they're really good. Man, look how many games this team is winning, and they've got a great player, and their lineup is stacked, and they got Gerrit Cole, but it's like, but can you beat the Astros? And that's basically what it was, and they never could.
Yeah.
And then just like, how do you process this? All right, you know, you won your division. You advance to the ALCS, but then you get swept by the Astros. So who exactly are you? And I feel like that we're headed in that type of collision course with the Knicks.
And this year might be that. The shame of last year, and I know everyone's going to say everybody's banged up at the end of the season. Well, that's kind of not. Yeah, banged up, yes. Injured, no. It would have been, I'm no Knicks fan, but as a basketball fan, it would have been nice to see that team healthy last year because they played the type of basketball that I really do believe should have had them go deeper than they did. And that series with the Pacers really wasn't I mean, come on. They were so injured in that series. Last year would have been a good test to see it. The changes they make, they're a different team now. I don't know. The way the Celtics played them last time made you think that they are a notch below, and I did not believe that really all season long. I did not think that. I thought they could score with anybody, and I really did think they would defend better. And while they are still going to end up winning 50 games, kind of like you say, they're a really good team, but maybe just not, because it's not just the Celtics now. It's also the Cavaliers.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When these stars would get together when it first started, like the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen team, it worked every time. And then you had LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and then that worked. And then you had, you know, Steph Curry. It was a little bit different because those guys were drafted there. But you had, you know, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, bringing Kevin Durant. That worked. But lately, it has not been working. Like, Kevin Durant going to the Nets doesn't work. Kevin Durant going to the Suns, there's something just off about that. And now you have the Knicks and this group that has been put together. You think they're going to be better just because they've added talent. And there's just something that's just, like, basketball is weird in that way. It used to be that the talent would always override. But in the Knicks' case, it doesn't. Like, you could say that they're more talented than probably, you know, 98% of the league.
They're seven deep. I mean, they are a solid seven deep. I would agree with that.
But they just, it just isn't, it's not working the way that they thought it would.
Well, we have to see in the postseason. I do agree with you. It doesn't feel like it right now. But I also will give them the benefit of the doubt. If they go into the postseason healthy, maybe they do flip the switch. Maybe they do play better defense. You know, a great test of what you're talking about is going to be how does Luka and LeBron, you know, shape out in Los Angeles. Because right now it looks pretty damn good as LeBron at the age of 40 looks like he's 25. The fat drunk looks pretty good as he plays more and more and more in Los Angeles. And so while that's not quite putting together three or four stars, you added one superstar to one of the best we've ever seen. And so far the early returns are pretty good out there.
I mean, think about, I know that we don't care about the Dallas Mavericks here, but just think about this right now. What has happened to them?
Yeah, I know.
They go to the finals last year.
Yeah.
This year they come back. The fans are jacked up about the team because they went to the finals last year. They trade their all-world superstar away for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis comes there.
Plays great.
Yeah.
Plays great.
And then gets hurt.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen him again.
Correct.
Okay. Then Kyrie Irving, the guy that is supposed to be the star of all stars,
continues to play great.
Right. Tears his ACL.
Yeah.
And then they announced they're raising ticket prices.
8%.
I mean, what?
And then did you see the end of the world storms that Dallas had 2 days ago?
Oh, yeah, I know. We got some storms coming this way tonight.
Yeah.
Some heavy ones.
I did see that. You want to talk about a bad run.
Yeah.
Holy crap, if you are a Mavericks fan. I mean, it went from, as you say, trying to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
To just, what are we? Like, they are nothing.
Yeah, and that ownership change there probably has a lot to do with this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, and it could work both ways. I mean, it worked really well with the Commanders in the NFL, and it's working the other way now with the Mavericks in the NBA.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Yeah. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A couple of people sent me this, including our guy Rami, who works here at WFAN. So Jordan Woods, who is Karl Anthony Towns' girlfriend, posted 8 hours ago, F cancer. So that probably has something to do with the personal reasons that Karl Anthony Towns is out. And nice. I that's all I'm going to speculate from there.
It's a good assumption.
Yeah. And by the way, if you remember during COVID, he lost, and this is not an exaggeration, his mother and 7 other family members.
Yeah.
So this guy has really gone through it. I don't know if this is Jordan Woods' family or Karl Anthony Towns' family. Either way, it doesn't sound like a great situation. So hoping for a good outcome there. CeeLo is here to give us a sports update. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter. Leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter. So, yeah, no Karl Anthony Towns for the Knicks last night against the Warriors, and maybe for this 5-game West Coast road trip, which begins tomorrow night against the Lakers. Tom Thibodeau was unsure of what his status would be for that moving forward. As for last night's game, second half at the Garden did not go well for the home team.
The Knicks are now 4-13 from the field in the fourth quarter. Green one-on-one with Hart, working around for Post. Green, hands, Curry, got it! A 3 for Steph Curry!
And of course, Zion Eagle on TNT, 35-26 Warriors in the third quarter, and then they won the fourth as well, 32-21 on their way to a 114-102 road win over the Knicks. Curry had 28, 9 assists and 7 rebounds, running his personal record at the Garden to 12-1, he knows.
My first game here in college. To now, like, it's always delivered. So, and for us on the Western Conference, we only get one chance here, and we try to make the most of it.
Well, he certainly has. Yes, I'm on the long list of superstars that played well,
of course,
in that building. On the other side, Tom Thibodeau's team not able to answer the bell when it counted.
Low energy coming out to start to third. So they made up that ground real fast.
I know you touched on the sound of his post game.
I mean, and listen, he's not great, full of energy or anything. This just sounded worse to me. And I hate hearing stuff like low energy. But I don't know. It could have something to do with what's going on with Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know. It just was surprising to me that they would be capable of something like this with Steph Curry in the building and the energy that should have been there just naturally.
Well, you know, G, it's a make or miss league.
Yes, it is. That's what happens.
The other thing drawing some attention from this game, Deuce McBride kind of going into the courtside seats after a loose ball. Jennifer Hudson, as it turned out, the victim, but not because of Deuce, as you'll hear here.
New York the leader, and they call him Deuce. And boy, I tell you, he has been such a positive.
Protect Jennifer Hudson. Protect Jennifer Hudson.
That's, oh, no, not the glass. Those look real expensive, too, partner.
And she Common is making sure everybody's okay.
Let me see what Common did. Did he protect her?
He tried. He actually banged the glass.
No, he did. Yeah. No, he banged the glass. That.
That's Ian and Greg Anthony on TNT. So Common tried to protect, but
ended up hitting her in the face with his own arm.
It looks like he deflected the ball, but also got her head.
Yeah. Which is probably better than getting hit in the face with the ball.
I would think so.
Yeah.
She seemed pretty upset about the glasses, though. She was trying to.
Yeah, she did not. She didn't laugh at all at first.
No. Too bad Clyde wasn't there. Remember his clip from years back with Breen?
No.
About the woman that got in the face?
Yeah.
I don't remember that
one. No, that was. You played that recently when I had never heard it.
I did, yes.
She was probably running her mouth like the rest of them or something like that. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Wow. And that's got to be like the mid 90s.
Oh,
very funny.
Yeah. And times have certainly changed.
Sitting next to Jennifer Hudson is actor Alexandra Daddario. You familiar with her?
No.
Who was part of one of the great television scenes of all time in True Detective Season 1.
Oh, boy.
And if you don't. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But I mean,
did I just hit that on the head?
I would think so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, okay. Woody Harrelson is a part of this as well, but it's more focused on her. But
interesting.
Anytime it's just immediate. Mm. Every time I see her, it just.
You see her nude?
I do.
So I was on a cruise once, and the cruise, I forget what beach, I don't remember what island it was, but like one side of it was, you know, topless and the other side wasn't. And the people from the cruise that went to the topless side, they come waltzing. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Mm,
and
course.
Then every time on the boat, you're like, that's the girl with the small boobs. Or that was the guy that does not trim up. And the rest of the every time you saw them on the boat, you couldn't get the image out of your head.
It works both ways. It does.
Yes.
Like the really good ones and then the really bad ones get seared into your memory.
And I can see both of like those two specifically. I can see if I shut my eyes, I see them both.
Yeah. And I remember watching this scene with Gina in the room. And like it was very quiet because she knew like how good she looked because it was just one of those things like she just wanted it to end as quickly
she wasn't into Woody Harrelson.
No, she was not into Woody Harrelson. Like I was,
he wasn't nude in this scene.
No, he was sitting there, and I believe she handcuffed him, so he didn't do much.
Okay,
but yeah, it was shocking because you didn't expect that to happen at that point. You know, and so now Jennifer Hudson's getting mauled by her boyfriend.
And you're drooling.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking at. I have to like rewind it 10 times to actually see what happened to Jennifer Hudson because I was just thinking back to True Detective Season 1.
Jerry's, you can't unsee that.
Yeah.
Interesting because Al and I were discussing on the warm-up show because Howie Roseman yesterday or a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And I'll play the audio later on was comparing the Super Bowl trips to the first and second time you have sex. And Al had a problem with that because it was hard for him to picture Howie Roseman ever having sex. So we got into a big discussion about people around
don't
here.
Don't make me think about it now.
Yeah, well,
I got to think about it.
But Jerry's saying, you know, you see the people on the topless or nude.
Can't unsee it.
There you go.
You know what's so funny about that conversation then is that as I'm walking around the arena last night, you see couples everywhere. Men are pigs.
Yes.
So I readily admit that.
Indeed.
All I kept, like you would see this one couple. Ugh.
How are they together?
That's got to look terrible. But then you would see a couple in shape, like, still active. Though they can't be.
Yeah.
Like, they can't look at each other and be like, yeah, let's get it on. Like, so it's weird you guys brought that up this morning.
Maybe they throw the blindfolds on.
Maybe. I don't know. Very strange. And I mean, of all ages.
Oh, yeah.
You know, couples that are in, because everyone's so out of shape, myself included. You see couples in their 30s, it's like, ugh. That's got to look terrible. And then you see, there was a couple, as I was walking around, from behind, you thought, man, those two were jacked. Then I got in front of them. The guy had to be 70, and his wife clearly in her 60s, in great shape. I'm like, those two are active.
Yeah. Getting after it.
I could see it.
I mentioned that scene and the actress, that Eddie moved as quick as he did to the dump button the other day to his keyboard.
He says, what was her name?
Yeah.
I'm Googling it.
Wait, what's that?
And Al didn't remember the name either, but he found it through the show you mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Right. I just Googled True Detective Nude.
Yeah, I mean, she is flawless. I mean, just blows your mind.
Funny. Yeah.
No shame over there.
No, not at all. Mm. That's just one of those moments.
Does Gina get some payback at some point? Like, scene with a hot guy in it?
Oh, yeah, like that.
Guy with chiseled abs or something, and then you got to sit through
show,
that.
That was another HBO show. It was the, I forget the name of it, but it was Nicole Kidman and Alexander Skarsgård, and he had like a 14-inch schween. And they just showed it. I'm pretty sure she hit it with a tennis racket, too.
Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies, yeah.
Oh, go
so,
ahead.
Like, that fitting, guy's completely cut. You know, and with this and cog.
You're waiting for it to move.
Yeah, right. And I'm just like, ah! Like, I'm distracting. You know, like, I'm like, I'm nauseous.
Shut up, Greg.
Yeah. No, so there is the pay. Yes, indeed. It happened a couple years later.
Goes both ways.
It certainly does. And more so, though, there's not as many of those penis scenes as they are with the women scenes.
Well,
but when you get one of those things, it's like, well, wow.
Could you write down, Al, write down for the podcast, micro penis?
Oh. And this is this one
it was in the New York Post.
I saw that article.
You saw it, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting article that I would like to get to later if we can.
And this is why, Al, you guys only get a couple hundred views on YouTube instead of thousands and thousands.
No, I think this
micro penis dating site?
I think this will do better than dog venereal diseases.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
We'll see how that works out for you. Nets lost to the Spurs in San Antonio, 127-113. Brooklyn's lost 5 in a row. They are now 21-40 on the season. So interesting, you were looking around a little distracted there last night. Was that before the Rutgers game you were talking about? When you were
I always take, especially in the opposing arenas, I just walk around the rotunda a little. Bit. Yeah. Hey, look at that pig.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there was some of that.
And then he had to watch a lot of three balls get rained in once the game started.
66-46 Purdue, 15-14 to play here in the second half. Shoot the pass to Lawyer, open three left side. Good Lord. Hits another. And it's 69-46 Purdue. Lawyer has hit 6 threes tonight. As a team, they've hit 16.
How about 18 by the time the game was over? Threes for Purdue, 18 of 36 as they outscored Rutgers 50-30.
That's only because I think they missed 8 of their last 10. I mean, they were shooting 70% from three-point range. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
This is great, G. I'm sitting out there in the newsroom. The very first clip I hit in the play-by-play, I think, was that one, and I cackled out loud right as Jerry was walking into the newsroom from his two-hour nap. Oh, good morning, Jerry. How'd that work out for
Let's relive it. Yep.
Yeah.
Not great.
100-71 the final, so you got one more regular season game coming up Sunday afternoon against Minnesota, but still in position for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. Yes, next
good
week.
Shape there.
Yes.
Have you locked up? Have they definitely locked
no.
up?
No, they haven't locked it up, but they've got the tiebreakers over several teams. Yeah.
A lot of things would have to go wrong.
Correct.
Gotcha.
All right, well, that's good. They'll be in Indianapolis next week.
Excellent. Let's do a little football here. The Eagles rewarding Saquon Barkley for that historic season. Two-year, $41.2 million contract extension to make him the highest-paid running back in NFL history. $36 mil guaranteed at signing. Quite a difference from where we were a year ago.
Sometime during the show. I have a question about the Barkley thing and John Mara. At some point this morning, I'd like to ask you about.
Let's do that at 7 o'clock.
Done.
What do you think?
Fantastic.
All right. Apparently, the Giants on one of these betting sites are now the favorite to land Aaron Rodgers amongst a lengthy list of teams. We know they were in on Matthew Stafford, as were the Raiders. The Raiders are shopping potentially for a veteran quarterback. Here's Max Crosby making his pitch, talking Rodgers on the Rush podcast.
I think with all the doubt and all the negativity around Aaron Rodgers, he needs to retire, things like that. You know, he's getting caught by the Jets. I think he's going to come back and have a I know he's 42 or 41.
Are you going to say MVP?
No, I think he's going to have a big year this year, and I hope it's in our town.
Kind of trailed off a little there in our town, so maybe Rodgers to the Raiders. We'll see what happens. As far as the Jets go, they did officially release Devontae Adams yesterday, clearing over $35 million in cash salary, almost $30 million in cap space. He'll take on an $8.3 million cap hit for the upcoming year, so gave up a couple picks to bring him in. Obviously, it didn't work out, and now he's
nothing worked
elsewhere.
Out.
Yeah, right.
Nothing
exactly.
worked out.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, if Aaron Rodgers could have been on the Jets and could have been on the Giants and ends up with the Raiders, he's going to go out there and win the MVP looking like George Blanda.
He might.
Probably.
He might.
You know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a great... I want to see it for a lot of different reasons with the Giants, but I don't see it. I actually think he'll go somewhere else, and I could see him playing well in Vegas. Wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, they got a bad roster. They got a lot of work to do there, so he needs some help. But you just know, whatever. As long as it's not here, it'll work.
Yeah. Well, as Jerry said, it didn't work with the Jets, and they continue to be low-hanging fruit around the league, even for former players. Former Viking star Jared Allen had his Pro Football Hall of Fame press conference with the Minnesota media yesterday, and they talked to him about the current state of the Vikings and how close they are, and the Jets ended up catching a stray here.
I'd rather be close than freaking... Who sucks? The Jets? Oh, gosh. Man, the Jets are miserable right now. I just can't believe anybody took that job. Rough one. So you get to say this stuff when you're retired. You can say whatever you want. That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Talk bad about all the organizations because they don't pay paychecks. It's awesome.
Now, I want you to picture him saying all this while wearing a cowboy hat up at the podium there.
Damn.
He was having himself a field day.
He goes, who sucks? The Jets? I mean, the top of mind, not even the Browns, you know, the Jaguars or the Titans. Who sucks? The Jets?
Yeah. I can't believe someone took that job.
Yeah.
I saw this morning, and I was convinced it had to be fake. So I had to go Google it and make sure it was real, and sure enough, it was real.
Damn.
So he did not hold back.
Quite outspoken.
Interesting. Hockey last night, Islanders beat Winnipeg at UBS Arena 3-2. I'll play some Brock Nelson next hour as he got emotional talking about potentially his final game with the Islanders should he get moved. The trade deadline's coming up on Friday, so he got a little misty-eyed there talking on the post-game on the bench, and the Devils lost to the Stars.
Was there an update on news?
Just that they're, I think, still seeking a little bit more information.
So, no, so okay.
It doesn't sound good.
No, I know it doesn't sound good. That I knew.
They haven't made any, like, final determinations, like long-term injured reserve or anything like that, but he's definitely going to miss some time.
Got it.
And you got Rangers Capitals tonight at the Garden.
Frank the Tank has Jack, who's he's done for his career.
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, career.
Yeah.
Oh,
never going to play.
Well, again. He's never extreme, so.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We were just talking about some of these sports auctions and the things that are out there and hundreds of thousands of dollars that will be gotten at an auction for Super Bowl rings and things like that. And we even had the guy on from Golden Auctions, Dave Ammerman, who is a part of the Golden Auction show on Netflix, to talk about what Boomer's MVP trophy could be worth, and that was last week. So when I saw this story, I wanted to bring it up because we've been talking about it. This one is interesting. If you were a Yankee fan and you remembered the early 2000s, you remember this home run. But if you are a Yankee fan that is much younger, this is not one of the home runs that your parents or your grandparents would tell you about.
Okay.
But I remember it, and I remember it distinctly because of that time of New York baseball and what was going on. And it was obviously the Yankees had just beaten the Mets in the World Series a couple years prior to this. There was a lot of money being spent in free agency. And there was one guy, and I'm going to lead you to see if you can come up with this because I'm curious. There was one guy who the Yankees signed who had gotten off to a miserable start. And then he had the moment that all the callers would call up and say,
he became a Yankee.
He earned his pinstripes. And this, there was a, the scene of this was something as well, had to do with the drama of this particular home run.
Was this a home run off of Byung-Young Kim against the Diamondbacks in the World Series?
Here's your next biggest hint. It's a regular season game.
So I would say, okay, I don't, from my my perspective, I remember being in the car when A-Rod hit a game-winning home run on a weekday game when he was something like 1-for-30 and a big weight came off his shoulders. And I remember thinking, that's now he's going to go.
This is a very similar situation, but
that's
not that.
Damn.
And I remember the month that this happened. So when I saw this, I was like, didn't that happen in? And I was like, yeah, it did. So it was the beginning of the season. This guy just come in, big free agent contract.
Giambi?
Yep.
I don't remember the home run, though.
You don't remember the home run?
No, I don't. I'm just throwing out names now.
It was a grand slam in May against the Twins to win the game in the rain.
Mm.
And
okay.
It was such like a big deal back then because he was awful for the better part of a month and a half. And they had just given him 7 years and $120 million, which back then is like the Soto
for
contract.
Sure. Yeah.
And he was just brutal. And it was May 17th, 2002. And Bernie Williams hit the home run to tie it. And then in the top of the 14th, when it was raining, Jason Giambi hits the grand slam in the rain. So this is now going, the ball, the program, and two tickets are now going up for auction.
Why would that be worth anything?
I don't know.
Like it's a nice home run and a nice moment for him, but he didn't exactly win tons of World Series championships with the Yankees.
So that was what I was going to say. The person who buys this has to be, like, had to have been there and just extremely wealthy and a collector. That's the only person who would buy that.
Collector? Like, to me, I would think, when you go buy a piece of memorabilia, obviously it's something close to you, for sure, but also it's kind of like a piece that you want to display. It's a talking point. If I walked into someone's home and I saw a ball and a couple of tickets and a program, like, wow, what's this? And you told me it was Jason Giambi's May Grand Slam? Like, okay.
You know, see,
that's nuts.
That was like the peak of my baseball fandom. Yeah, so if I saw that, I would have been like, wow, you've got that ball? That's crazy.
Yeah, I would say, wow, you've got that ball. Why?
Well, did you catch it? Right.
Well, that's different. I mean, I suppose. Yeah, that's a good point. I was just saying with the tickets and the program, it seems like maybe a whole thing that they bought. But you're right. If you went to that game and you caught it, you might have had the program and the tickets still.
Yeah, and I don't know everybody's financial situation, but clearly this person held on to this for all these years.
So what is he auctioning it all for?
You don't know, because it's like they put it up there and then whatever.
There's not a starting bid?
Like, go to the starting bid's $2,000.
$2,000?
Uh-huh.
For a random May home run?
It wasn't random. He earned his pinstripes, Jared.
It was random. He didn't earn anything. This is stupid, I swear.
All right, well, I bet you there are Yankee fans out there that would actually be interested in this, like, more than you think.
Like, if you told me the Scott Brosius home run.
Well, yeah, that's...
I mean, that. No, but I'm saying, like, there are...
The Aaron Boone home run.
Absolutely. Like, there are home runs that make you say, that would be cool to have. This is not. I don't think. I mean...
Well, the other thing about Giambi, too, is the fact that you knew he was a steroid guy. He really, his career as a Yankee was there.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he had moments, G. No, but he was good, but they didn't, he never won a World Series with the Yankees.
I mean, Jason Giambi's legacy is more attached to prank callers calling Mike Francesa than it is what he did at the plate.
What do you mean? Jason Giambi prank callers?
You don't remember that? Oh, God, for years and years and years. It was, you know, people would call up and be like, Ted in the story of Ted. Guy would go, if just for the next coach of the Giants, like, you think Jason Giambi would come here? And you're like, all right, that's another clown. And everybody would just, they would suggest Giambi for every
job. I didn't know that.
Job.
I remember that.
You know, politician. I mean, it was just, like the main prank for years.
Mm.
And it was like someone might have done it like the last year was here, like in free agency. Like, what do you think Giambi will get on the open market?
Okay, want to help the old lady cross the street, will you? Use your time a little bit better than this.
Stupid.
Yeah. So I could see like a WFAN fan getting this ball.
Have you ever bought a piece of memorabilia?
Not in a long time.
But so when you were younger, but not as an adult, probably.
No. You have. One of the Giambi prank calls.
Giambi prank call someone posted.
All right, yeah, let's...
Already?
Joe in Brooklyn, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, before I get to my question, is there going to be a Super Bowl contest this year? You haven't mentioned that.
Always, yeah. There'll be one. The only thing about the Super Bowl contest is it'll be a week later because we don't have to travel anybody this year, so it's not like you have to give away the trip early because of travel and planes and everything else. This year, you're just giving away tickets, so we can give away the tickets the week of the game. So we'll move the contest back to the week of before the game. So we'll start usually is the week before.
Sorry about that.
The bye week That's Sunday, okay. We give them away. This year, we'll give them away Super Bowl week each day.
Because there's no travel.
We'll move the contest into Super Bowl week because of their it being a local game. Right. That's the only change.
I'll be okay and get to save a little bit of money.
Excuse me? Yeah, I mean, this year it's about tickets. You don't have to have, there's no travel. I mean, so there's no expenses, there's no travel, there's no, no hotel, no airfare, nothing. It's just tickets this year. So this year, we backed it up a little bit, that's all.
Okay, you think the Broncos should sign Giambi as the backup quarterback?
Adam and Mamaric.
After all of that,
KFC 11 years ago posted one about Giambi here.
Madison cannot take us to the playoffs, and I don't think Geno Smith can,
You want to sign a quarterback now? Like to sign?
There's a couple free agents out there, maybe. We have a couple extra bucks.
Now? You mean for this year?
Yeah, for this year.
Well, who is it you're talking about?
Well, I mean, we all know who's the biggest guy that's out there. It's Jason Giambi.
Jason Giambi? Oh, no, but you think he was being an idiot? What was your first clue? Mike in Oceanside? What's up, Mike?
Maybe that was the first one.
Maybe.
The origin story.
I had no idea that was the thing with Mike.
I'm surprised that you didn't.
And I listened to all that. I don't remember that. Wow.
It was actually good that long setup and Mike doing his whole thing, knowing that the guy is just waiting to get his Giambi thing in. Because he's like trying to cut Mike off. Yes. Like, hey, just to get his Giambi thing in.
Enough with the Super Bowl tickets.
Right. And like he asked the question.
I think the Rangers got to go out and get some gold scores. They got to shake it up. I really think if they went out and got Jason Giambi, that would be a good move.
Okay, let me ask him. You get a star for that? No one ever answers. No one ever answers. They never answer. I don't know why.
So stupid. Oh my God.
Wow.
And then the other part that just like it's like the little things in these clips too. Like when he goes to the next caller, it's just so great. Like, what do you think about Jason Giambi maybe signing with the Rangers? And then he'd be like, Adam and Mnarinek. Right to the next. Oh boy, yeah. Giambi is just there. It was a legendary run there for the prank call.
Oh yeah, Giambi. Legendary.
Yeah. No, really, there was a Giambi era.
Their secondary is what needs to step up in order for them to win. And I think I still see Seattle winning. But if Denver's secondary steps up, it's going to be because of the contribution of Jason Giambi. No question.
Bob and Gone City.
Oh, God. I can't get enough. I really can't.
Al came up with four of them in 2 minutes.
Holy cow. It was a prolific run, man. There was a lot of them.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of them. Hmm. So, yeah.
Mike in Rockville Center. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike. Happy Easter.
Thank you. You too. What's up?
You look great on Fox Sports 1 today, I got to tell you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, because I'm still dressed. I didn't change yet, but I won't be here like this all day, I promise. Go ahead, what's up?
Oh, Mike, come on, keep it on. You look great.
Thanks. Go ahead, what's up?
I actually want to ask you a question about, I saw St. John's yesterday with Chris Mullin, mm-hmm. That press conference was awesome. Mm-hmm. Got me, as a Johnny fan, really fired up. I was going to say, I saw some of his assistant coaches, he brought in the guys from Iowa State.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe a couple other guys to fill the stand. Yeah, maybe Ed Pinkney, maybe a guy like Artie Lang or Jason Giambi.
Artie Lang.
All right, so now that you waste that. I knew he was going to waste our time. I just wanted to see when,
So just to recap, Jason Giambi as a St. John's assistant coach.
Yeah.
Jason Giambi to the Broncos.
Yeah.
Jason Giambi, what was the
Rangers goal scorer. Yeah. Get some extra offense.
Wow.
Yeah. And then a big free agent. Like, you know what? That first one that you said,
ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the University Studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here.
For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.